Society has been normalizing demonization. The devil is hidden in plain sight. If the devil's not ashamed, if he's unapologetic, we need to be unashamed. We need to be unapologetic. The devil's not gonna voluntarily give up his position. We need to be the army that God has called us to be and actually start doing deliverance ministry. The finger of God is what delivers you. Don't you want God's fingerprint on your life?
Isaiah Saldivar, it's great to have you here on Charisma. And this book, it's great to have you part of the Charisma author family, How to Cast Out Demons. And let's just right on the front of this, you say this is everything that you need to know about deliverance. That's a big claim, Isaiah. Let's talk about that. This is everything you need to know. How did you come to know everything that that people need to know?
Yeah, so my journey with deliverance kind of, and it is a bold claim. When I decided to come with that title, they said, one of the people, I won't say who at Christmas, said, you got to make sure you add everything if you're going to put everything you need to know. And I think when people get the book, they'll realize every question they've had on deliverance, we try to find an answer to. But for me, it started with 13 years ago, I was actually an atheist. I didn't believe in God. I was raised in church, but just did not believe, just got hard-hearted, bitter, angry, everything you can think of. And then my little sister begged me for about 6 months to go to church. I told my girlfriend at the time, we're just going to go one time, get her off our back. I'll never go again. And I had not been in 3 years up until this point. So I'm about to turn 20 years old. I graduated high school at 16. I graduated college at 19. I was like the golden child, doing everything right in the world's eyes, yet spiritually I was completely dead. And so I go to this church and the pastor's preaching about world missions, and I was just not moved at all. And then during the altar, he's like, if you want to come forward and give your life to Christ, I wasn't planning to go forward, but I literally felt something pulling on my shirt. I ended up going to that altar, and in so many words, I said, God, and I said a cuss word, I don't believe in you, but if you're real. And then I started saying, I'll give you everything, which I don't even know why I was saying this at the time, but inwardly, I so badly wanted there to be a God. I said, I'll move out of state. I'll break up with my girlfriend. I'll leave my job because I was getting hired as a deputy sheriff. I'll leave my job in law enforcement. I'll travel wherever you want me to go. And I just started making all these bold claims that if God was real, I'd do this. In that very moment, I hear an audible voice. I'm not full of the Holy Spirit at the time. I was full of the devil. And I heard an audible voice from above saying, Isaiah, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want everything. Give me your life. And in that, I went into some type of out-of-body experience where I was just seeing all these bright lights. And I was seeing myself preaching before millions of people. I was hearing the Lord talk to me about what he wanted me to do. I go from that to coming back to my body. And literal dirt was coming out of my eyes. And at that time, I had not cried for 10 years up until that point. I'm crying like a baby. So that's shocking me because I haven't cried in 10 years. I was just so hard-hearted. I'm speaking in this language that I don't even know what I'm saying. I didn't know about tongues because the church I was raised in didn't talk about tongues. The only time I ever heard tongues in my entire life was at 5 years old. I heard my parents praying in tongues one time. So here I am now. I'm speaking this language. I'm crying like a baby. Dirt's coming out of my eyes, literal dirt. I'm having this crazy experience. The pastor gets on stage. There's 500 young people at the altar. It's a big mega church. And the pastor says, there's a young man in here right now and the Lord's removing the dirty scales from your eyes. And wow. I'm just, made me cry even more. And I have this crazy experience. Long story short, I don't sleep for 3 days. I don't eat for 2 weeks. I literally went from death to life. I went from cussing every other word to 13 years later, I haven't said a word. I went from drinking every day to 13 years later, I haven't drank. I went from pornography every day, sleeping around, everything you could think of, to being living a clean life ever since that moment. I put my faith in Jesus. I realized my life, I was a sinner. In that moment, I realized everything I was doing, the parties, the drinking, the girls, was wrong. I felt filthy and I put my faith in the cross and was born again that moment. So that led into a revival broke out at my house, and this will all go into deliverance here. Give me like one more Pentecostal minute. A revival broke out at my house. My family got saved. My friends got saved. Literally everyone in my family, aunts, cousins, uncles came. It felt like everybody I knew got saved in my living room. We were having 300 to 400 people come every week to my living room. We were seeing people get out of wheelchairs. I had an aunt that was born deaf get healed. I had a cousin that was deaf get healed. I saw people that never walked walk again. And that led to a lot of my friends I was partying with were coming to my living room for this revival meeting, and they were manifesting demons. They would literally walk in my living room and start growling, screaming, blaspheming God, slithering on the ground. And I was sitting there going, I partied with that guy last week, and now he's on my floor slithering like a snake. So I realized, like, this is spiritual. There's a spiritual realm. My uncle, who's in ministry for 30 years, knew about all of this. And I said, could we do this stuff? Like, the Bible shows deliverance. Jesus cast out demons everywhere. And I didn't have this religious mindset at the time. I just thought, hey, Jesus did it. His disciples did it. The book of Acts did it. We're disciples. Could we do this? And my uncle, who had been in ministry for 30 years, says that he had, in that moment, had to decide, am I going to spiritually neuter them and tell them this isn't for today? Or am I going to tell them absolutely everything in the Bible you can do? And my uncle said, Mijo, was what, you know, we're Hispanic. He said, Mijo, everything in the Bible you can do, you can cast out demons, you can lay hands on the sick, you can preach the gospel. And that turned into us literally doing deliverance almost every single day on one of our family, one of our friends. And that led me into deliverance. And then now 13 years later, finally have a lot of those early stories and early things in a book form when the Lord basically said, it's time now to create a manual, make it easy for people, make it practical. I made a joke and said, if you're looking for a book where it's like Jezebel, Leviathan, all of that, that is not this book. This is a practical guide where any person can pick it up and understand how to cast out demons. In the book, I talk about things like how people get demons, all of the stories of Jesus casting out demons, signs you have a demon, items you might have in your home that open you to demons. I give like a 7-step method. I talk about stubborn demons, how to keep the demons out. So literally everything you need to know is all there in the book. But hopefully it could be a practical guide for people that want to get involved in deliverance ministry, because I firmly believe scripture tells us every person is called to drive out demons. It's not just for the select few, John. It's for every single disciple of Jesus Christ. They shall cast out demons. So I'm super convicted about that.
Yeah, I can tell you. And you're passionate about this. And I love the fact that you have been going online for several years now, and you're seeing deliverance happening digitally. And I just got to say, like, society is talking about demons more than the church, it seems. I mean, yes. Just recently, Tucker Carlson says that he was physically attacked by a demon and it left bloody claw marks on him, which then led him to really reading the Bible and searching and for like the last year and a half or so, which hearing that testimony was wild. And then there's celebrities that are openly claiming that they are operating in the demonic. But the church just isn't even talking about it. I mean, you do a lot of videos and reactions to things that are happening in our culture and our world. Let's talk about the culture. But also, before we get into that, why isn't the church talking about demonic deliverance?
So there's a saying that ignorance is bliss is only said by the ignorant. And I think when we say the word ignorant, it sounds mean. You're like, why would you call the church ignorant? But the word ignorant is not a mean word. It means you just don't know. You just don't know something. And for a while, I was frustrated at the state of the church and the pastors, like, why, Lord? Why don't they do this? Why aren't they talking about it? And the Lord's like, Isaiah, they're just ignorant. They just don't know. They've never learned about it. They don't believe it. And so I think that's where the church is at, because we haven't seen it. We haven't been taught about it. We're ignorant to it. But the problem is, you can't read the Gospels and say that this isn't happening, because it happened all throughout Scripture. And what the Lord's been showing me even this week was, Isaiah, you're not pointing people to something new. There's nothing new. There's nothing we're pointing to. There's no new doctrine in the book. You're not going to find like a new revelation. You're actually pointing people back, the Lord's been showing me, to ancient paths, to what the Lord did. So this is not a new teaching. This is an ancient teaching that's been forgotten about, that's been lied about, that's been rejected, that's been put in the corner somewhere that people are afraid of. But the bottom line is, now we're at a place where the devil is hidden in plain sight. And that means he's out in the open now. He's trying to hide, but he's in plain view, where like every Grammy show, every celebrity event, we already know if there's a Grammys, there's going to be a bunch of demonic stuff happening on stage. We already know if it's a Super Bowl halftime show, a bunch of demonic stuff on stage. Any big platform the world has, it's always demonic. It's always dark now. And that wasn't the case 50 years ago. No, so I feel like the devil's really taken the gloves off. He's not ashamed anymore. So my thing is, if the devil's not ashamed, if he's unapologetic, we need to be unashamed. We need to be unapologetic. He's not apologizing for demonizing our kids, so we shouldn't apologize for delivering our kids. He's not apologizing for wrecking our families with pornography and divorce and anger and the new age. We shouldn't apologize for setting the captives free, for seeing deliverance, for seeing miracles. So yeah, we're at a time where the world is actually open to talking about these things, and there's a biblical way to do it. It's all through the scripture. We look at like Mark 1:39, Jesus went from synagogue to synagogue casting out demons. We look at Matthew chapter 10, he told the 12 disciples, go cast out demons. He didn't ask them, John. He didn't say, if you feel like it, if you want to. That was the commission. Then in Luke 10, he tells the 72, go cast out demons. And then in Acts chapter 8, we see Philip, the only named evangelist in scripture. What is he doing at his first crusade? He's casting out demons and healing the sick. So this is inevitable through scripture. You can't avoid this. As his disciples, I want to make it very basic. If I'm his disciple, I'm his representative. 2 Corinthians 5 says, we are Christ's ambassadors. So I look at Jesus and I go, okay, very simply, what did he do? He healed the sick, he cast out demons, and he preached the gospel. Those are the three things he did. Like, this is objective. Those are the three things he did. So as his ambassador, as his follower, as his disciple, John 14, 12, he says, you're going to do the same works I've done and even greater, because now I'm going to the Father. Wouldn't it make sense, John, that we as his disciples are called to do the same works, not only that Jesus did, but the disciples did, the early church did, and that includes casting out demons. That includes healing the sick. That includes preaching the gospel. Every single person watching this right now has a friend or a family, and this is no debate to this. You have a friend or family that needs deliverance. And you can't just say, I'm going to bring them to Isaiah Saldivar's deliverance event. I'm going to bring them to my pastor. No, you're called to set the captives free. Mark 16, the first sign of being a believer is these signs will follow. In my name, they'll drive out demons. Like, imagine, John, that's the first telltale sign. You meet somebody on the street, you're like, oh, you're a believer? Yeah, oh, me too. Oh, so you cast out demons? Like, that would be crazy. People would look at you like you're nuts. Yet in the Bible, in the book of Mark, it says that'll be the first sign that of a believer is they will cast out demons. So I think it's essential that we do that. The world deserves it. The world needs it. The church needs it. Our friends and family need it. We really need compassion. We need to be heartbroken over the state of society. I refuse to believe that we are the most depressed generation in existence. I refuse to stand around while we're the most suicidal generation ever. The devil is pouring out a spirit. That's true. Just turn on the news, turn on the television. But the Lord is also pouring out his spirit, which is greater, which is more powerful, which has more authority. And as his believers, we have the same spirit that raised Christ living in us, and we're called to do this work. So I believe it's needed now. I think this whole book coming out is timely. We're in this era, this generation that's hungry for the spiritual realm, and we're really giving them what they want, and that is, tell me what Jesus did. Tell me about Jesus, and this is something Jesus did everywhere.
You know, I'm really loving the fact that, you know, Charisma, we've published a number of people's, part of the Demon Slayers group, with you and Alexander Pagani and Mike Signorelli and Vlad Savchuk and, depending on, who else might be part of that group. But you guys are all friends. You're all in ministry together in some way, shape or form. Greg Locke. And we love just seeing what the Holy Spirit is doing at this time in history. There is a renewed focus on deliverance, but that still brings me back to this question of why has the church not paid attention to this? Why has the church kind of let this go to the side? And it's almost like those are the strange people that do deliverance over there. Yeah. Or like, those are the weirdos. Let's take this out of the main service into that back room there and get those people help that way. Why is this? Let's talk about this a little bit, because we are missing something that God tells us that we're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's the pastor's job. That's the straight up truth. The pastor leads the church. The pastor's the one, whatever his vision is, that's the direction of the church. So if we look at the modern church and say, why is deliverance not happening? We have to point it to the leaders. Like, if there's a bad policy in the country, we don't blame the citizens because we have no power over that. We blame the leaders that the citizens elected and go, why are the leaders not doing their job? So I look at the pastors and say, it's really their job. I've told pastors before, how do you preach 52 weeks out of the year and you never once talk about something Jesus did everywhere? I mean, think about that. You gave 52 sermons and you somehow skipped over what Jesus did in every single city he went to and what the disciples did. And so it's necessary as leaders, we're trained and equipped to cast out demons. It starts with the leadership and then leads into people. Okay, so now we're in a place where, you just said it, John, we're in a deliverance revival right now. Mm-hmm. And this is because for the first time in history, social media is a thing, right? Like 10 years ago, there was no short form content. 10 years ago, going viral didn't really exist. Well, here now you have a church over here that rejects it, refuses to talk about it. Then you have the Lord raising up all of these voices online. They're not waiting for permission from a local church, which I love the local church. I pastored for a decade. I'm a part of a local church. Mike, Vlad, and Pagani are all senior pastors of local churches. So I love the local church. But here's what you have now. Online taking off, going viral, and now pastors, they no longer can control the narrative. They can no longer keep this ministry out of the church. So because our videos are getting, millions and millions of views, the first deliverance video I ever posted on TikTok got 15 million views.
Wow.
So you can't now avoid the deliverance now, because like everybody at my church is asking why we don't do it. Everybody at my church is asking, why is it happening online? They're giving verses. It's in the Bible. It's theologically sound. So pastors have no choice now but to embrace it. Just 3 weeks ago, we were in the Now Arena in Chicago. 10,000 people gathered. And at the very end of the day, we had mass deliverance with 10,000 people, packed out arena. So it's like, you can't ignore anymore what the Lord is doing. And it all points back to the cross. It all points back to Jesus. Isaiah has no power. Mike has no power. Vlad, Pagani, none of us have power, authority. All we're doing is pointing people back to Jesus and saying it's in his name that we cast out demons. It's in his name that there's power and authority. And so now I could tell you, pastors that would never invite me, never do deliverance, never want anything to do with it, are now starting to do deliverance, are now starting to get deliverance. I just talked to a guy today who said, my pastors of a large known mega church, he literally just told me today, I won't say who, my pastors just went through deliverance. So now it's like, even these big, big, big churches, our pastors are going through deliverance. They're starting to teach it. They're bringing people in. I've been in some large churches that 5 years ago, I would have laughed if you said, they're going to bring you in to teach on deliverance. I would have been like, they would never invite me. And now they're inviting me because they're seeing, not only is it working, the world needs it and the church is hungry for it. So now I think we're seeing that ignorance break. And of course, the books, the videos online, I have 2,200 videos on my channel. So like, we're teaching people, we're training people, we're going through the Bible, and it's waking people up to this truth of what Jesus did.
Yeah. And I thank you for your YouTube channel. I love seeing all the stuff that you're doing. I mean, you're teaching about deliverance. You're teaching about other things beyond that as well. But you're commenting about what is happening in our culture in so many of the viral videos. One of the things I want to talk to you about is just this whole concept of the legal deliverance, or the legal possession, I guess, because if somebody is going to be demonically possessed or oppressed, they normally had some sort of they did something that legally gave the devil permission to do what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
And so in society, though, we're seeing this manifest in the public. So what have we done as a society, or what are we allowing as a society that keeps allowing these Super Bowl halftime shows or the Grammys or all these things that are openly demonic expressions? What are we doing or not doing that is actually giving the devil legal right to do these things?
Yeah, so all these things are to desensitize us, right? Are to make the demonic innocent, no big deal. So like, just for an example, the biggest artist right now in the world is Taylor Swift. And all these young people love her, all these people. She's like had a billion-dollar tour. She's now like the highest grossing. So she's broken every record for an artist. She goes on Twitter and says, I'm the witchest witch there is. I'm the witchiest of witches. So she's openly now saying she's involved in doing new age witchcraft. Of course, she calls herself a Christian, which is bizarre. But all of her songs talk about, you know, karma and these new age Hindu practices and witchcraft and magic. She's weaving them in to make it normal. Make it normal now that witchcraft is no longer abomination the way the Bible teaches. It's no longer wrong. So society has been normalizing demonization, making all of these things no big deal. It's no big deal to go get your palms read. McDonald's hands out horoscopes now, right? They had like this little thing where they're handing out horoscopes with their food. They're making all of these demonic, satanic things normal, desensitizing the masses so that it's no big deal to worship the devil. It's no big deal to plead your allegiance to him. And as believers, as Christians, we have to push back. We have to call these things out. Jesus said this, they're going to hate you, but know that they hated me first. So then we ask ourselves, why did they hate Jesus? And he tells us, he said, they hated me because I testified that their works were evil. Jesus was speaking out against the demonic culture, the darkness happening in society, and then not just talking about it, but what goes down to what the book's all about is he was actually doing something about it. So he wasn't just meeting saying, the devil's bad, the culture's bad, everyone's demonic. He was like, yeah, we're going to call it out, but we're also going to drive out demons. So we have to definitely speak out against these things and reject these demonic things happening in society, but we also have to do something about it, and that doing something about it is driving out demons from our friends and family and the people around us that need help. So it's not enough just for us to be vocal and make noise. We need to be the army that God has called us to be and actually start doing deliverance ministry. And people watching this are saying, well, how do I do it? Exactly why we're putting out these books, exactly why we're giving you training manuals. In the book, I have a 7-step simple method. We've made it as simple as possible, theologically sound, to get people to actually do the work we're telling them about. Because there's nothing more annoying than somebody saying, do something, but never telling you how to do it. Or somebody saying, fix this, but never telling you how to fix it. And that's a frustrating place the church is in, because we preach about the darkness. We talk about the darkness. Every Sunday, we're like, they're doing this, they're doing that. but where very few places are actually teaching people how to do something about it. Deliverance is a direct confrontation with the enemy's kingdom. It's a power encounter. It's an authority encounter. Jesus said, if I cast the demons by the Spirit of God, finger of God, then you know the kingdom has come. So the arrival of God's kingdom is deliverance, and deliverance is the arrival of God's kingdom. Some people get freaked out, and I tell people, the finger of God is what delivers you. Don't you want God's fingerprint on your life? Don't you want the finger of God in your life? It's nothing to be afraid of. It's beautiful. It's freedom. It's the Lord bringing you out of the cage that you're in bondage and setting you free. And so we desperately need it. We have to be vocal about it, and we have to stop tolerating and allowing these things in our life. And I'll say this and then turn it back over to you. The number one open door to the devil in this generation, the number one thing that opens people up to demons that every person has right now, every person has that's watching has a new device that I believe is the greatest open door to the devil in existence. And it's right here sitting on my desk. It's a cell phone. This right here is an open door. You know this, I know this, to every type of dark thing online. It's so accessible, it's so easy. 50 years ago, if guys wanted to get involved in sexual sin, they had to go to a store, they had to be secretive, they have to hide, they have to get a magazine, hide it, no more. Now we have people, young people coming to our meetings that are 7, 8 years old saying, I'm watching internet pornography on my iPad, I'm addicted. I had a 7-year-old, parents came to me and said, our son's addicted to pornography. And we started praying for him. He told me, I wake up every morning before my family goes to work and I get on the iPad and I watch hours of pornography every morning. This kid's like 7 years old.
Oh my God.
And that is the access these young kids have to darkness, to demonic stuff, to opening themselves up to demons. And it's no wonder why we are considered the highest depression rate, the highest suicide rate, the highest rate of perversion, the highest rate of pornography, is because the access is so easy. And for the first time in history, you can access all types of demonic things from your phone, which again, 20 years ago, we didn't even have smartphones like this, mm-hmm. where everybody had one, we were accessible. So now that the devil's made himself extremely accessible, watch this, we have now made ourselves as the kingdom accessible. Now we're online. Tomorrow night, this is gonna shock some people. Tomorrow night, I will be live on Zoom casting demons out of people. I'm not just going to let the devil use the technology. We're going to use the technology God has given us. If I can pray for somebody on the phone, I can pray for them over Zoom. And we're going to see people get demons cast out of them on a Zoom call. So we're going to use every tool we have. These tools are not just for the enemy. We're going to use them for the kingdom of God. Whatever the devil's using these vehicles, God's also using to set people free. And so it's a beautiful time because it's a time of revival. It's a time of deliverance. I know it might sound like, oh, this is all bad and dark. No, it's a great time to be alive. The Lord is pouring out a spirit and we can utilize all these vehicles to see the captive set free.
I love that you're so joyful about this because these are dark times, but we are bringing the light of Christ.
Yes.
I mean, we're called to be salt and light. And I love that you are bringing joy to this. I mean, there's a passion and then there's a joy. You know, earlier you said that we need to cast out and bring deliverance to our friends and family. My question for you about this is, okay, so how do we recognize that this is actually a demonic thing in them? And then how do you get them to actually accept that they need to be delivered? Because do you just go around like sneak attack deliverance people? How do you do that?
Yeah, so if you're having friends and family that are dealing with something, there's a very loving way to say, hey, there's a spiritual realm. It's super simple. There's a spiritual realm. And the Bible talks about how these are persons without bodies. These spirits are personalities that live inside of us. Matthew 12, Jesus said, demons call us their home. And you just tell your friend or family, say they're dealing with suicidal thoughts. Like, hey, that's not normal. That's not, God doesn't want that for you. That's something in you telling you to do something that you don't want to do. And they know they don't want to do it. Many people tell you, I don't want to take my life. I don't want to cut my arm, but there's an overwhelming desire for me to do it. And you let them know, and God will fill your mouth and give you the words. Like, I can pray for you and God can set you free. And this is very important. Inviting them over to your house, right? Making them feel comfortable and just starting to pray for them. You don't have to say, oh, we're going to do an exorcism. We're going to get oil. We're going to turn all the lights off and light candles. You don't have to do all that. You invite them over, get them in a safe place and say, I just want to pray for you. And then when you pray for them, and we talk about this in the book, you don't just go, Lord, thank you for them. Help them, Lord. Amen. That's how a lot of people pray. And that's great for a certain place, but that's not great if somebody has a demon and you're trying to get the demon out. It's very important that you confront the demon. And this is something most people have never done. When we do deliverance on people, John, they always say, how did I have this my entire life? And when they say this, they mean the demon. And nobody, and I didn't even know. I never knew I had a demon until now. And I always ask them the same question, John. I say, have you ever had anybody pray for you and confront the demon? And every single time they say, no, I've been in church for 30 years, John. I've never had anybody confront a demon in me. I've never had anybody pray deliverance over me. So the devil's not going to voluntarily give up his position. He's not going to voluntarily say, here I am, kick me out. He's very crafty. He hides using camouflage. I talk about that as well in the book. That's his favorite tool is camouflage. He hides in the environment. So as believers, we have to confront the demon. So for example, let's just be super practical, John. I have a family member saying, I'm dealing with these suicidal thoughts. Will you pray for me? Absolutely. Thursday night, come over the house. I want to pray with you. They come over the house Thursday night. Me and my wife get together with, let's say, my cousin, right? And she comes over, put on some worship music. Hey, we're going to talk with you. We love you. We appreciate you. Show them a few scriptures. Hey, this is what the Bible teaches. We know God can set you free. We don't want you to deal with this. We know God doesn't want you to deal with this. We're going to pray for you. And then we're going to talk to her about these simple steps we give, like renouncing things and unforgiveness. Hey, is there any unforgiveness in your life? Let's deal with these things. Let us pray. And then we're going to start praying. And I'm going to say, literally, I'm going to say, I command any spirit of suicide. I call you out now. You must leave now in Jesus' name. You have no power. I'm going to actually start going to war on behalf of my family. And I'm going to start calling that thing out of her. And likely, she's going to start feeling that thing wanting to come up. She's going to start maybe growling or coughing or feeling anger. Her heart will start racing. That demon will start coming up to the surface because with the authority Jesus has given me, I'm evicting it from its home. Again, Matthew 12 says demons call us their home. Very easy, very practical. I'm commanding that thing to leave her. And I'm not doing it like one time for 1 minute. I'm going to keep confronting and keep calling that thing out until that thing comes out of her. And that is where we've missed it. We don't go into that. We just, Lord, have your way. We pray at a distance. But Jesus actually called the disciples to go cast out demons. And then they came back in Luke 10 and said, even the demons obey us in your name. Like they were shocked. They were like, this stuff works. And I'm telling you guys, if you start doing this and praying for friends and family like the way we show in the book, it actually works. When you start confronting the demon in the name of Jesus, it's not fancy. It's not complicated. You'll start seeing the demons will respond and you, the listeners right now, will be like those disciples in Luke 10 and they'll be like, wow, we thought Isaiah was nuts, but this stuff actually works. The demons obey us and I'll tell you why it works because the Bible says it works. The Bible has given us power and authority. And if you get this book, you're going to realize there's scripture throughout the entire book. In fact, the second chapter is all scripture. It's all the ministry of Jesus and him casting out demons everywhere he went. And some people will be shocked going like, how did I live my whole life and not even realize how real this was? It's real. It's happening right now. And we're called as believers to do it. And I think this book is going to help people to get the tools they need to start doing what Jesus has called us all to do.
Yeah. You mentioned putting on worship music whenever you're praying for somebody. Is there any like specific songs or specific type of music, like specific style of worship music that people should use in this to kind of set an atmosphere? How important is the atmosphere for you in this?
Yeah, I think what's important is making sure the person's comfortable and making sure that they feel loved and they feel the compassion. You definitely want to make an atmosphere where they're comfortable to share, they're comfortable to maybe even manifest a demon, because a lot of times the demon will start speaking out of the person and it could be a very uncomfortable thing. So making the person comfortable is super crucial and not, you know, it's like, you don't want to go into a room and have the lights blaring on them, no music on, super awkward, very uncomfortable. Like you want to set an atmosphere where they're comfortable to get set free, you know? And for me, it's like, okay, this is going to be funny, but there's a song, super old school. When I say old school, I'm talking like 10 years ago because that's for me old school. I'm young, right? But there's a song called Freedom Reigns by a band named Jesus Culture. And it's an old school song. It just says freedom reigns in this place. And it's all about freedom. That's like my go-to. I play that at every deliverance. I put it on repeat. And it just basically says like, freedom reigns in this place. And I love that song. And I know like demons hate that song because it's all about the freedom Christ has given us. So I would say, I like to put on music that's, you know, chill, not super loud, praise, fast paced, but just real low-key worship music that's about the freedom Christ has. Set the atmosphere. Invite the Holy Spirit into the room. Holy Spirit, we invite you. I want you to lead this deliverance. I want you to be the one that runs the deliverance. And throughout the whole process, John, we're letting the Holy Spirit lead. We're being open. Our ears are attentive to what he's saying, whatever direction he wants to go. Yes, we give a 7-step framework, but in the book, before I even give the 7 steps, I say, if the Holy Spirit leads you otherwise, go with him. Okay, don't go with me if the Holy Spirit leads you otherwise. This is just a guide. It's not ritualistic. It's not like the way the Catholic Church does exorcism where they read specific prayers. This is not ritualistic. This is led by the Holy Spirit, taking our authority Christ has given us. So it's definitely not like, if you don't go through all seven steps, it's not going to work. No, this is about being led by the Spirit. These steps are just going to help you to go through deliverance process when you stall out, when you get stuck. But at the end of the day, this is a work of the Spirit. This is not a work of Isaiah. This is not a work of Alexander Pagani. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's his ministry. He's the one doing the heavy lifting. We're just his vessels. We're just the ones carrying him. He's the one that's going to do the work. And so be led by the Spirit. Put on some worship music, spend some time in prayer. It might even help as the deliverance minister is, you know, fast 1 or 2 days. If it's your first deliverance, fast for a day, fast for 2 days. I like to fast until the deliverance is over. So if I'm doing a deliverance at 6 o'clock, I'll fast all day. The deliverance, say it's at six, goes till like say 7 or 8. And then after 8, 9 o'clock, then hey, I'll eat after the deliverance. But I like to fast any days that I do deliverance, I'm fasting that day. Even days I preach, I fast. I want to be ready. I want to be in the right mindset. I want to have every hindrance blocked. I don't even want to be thinking about food. I want to have every hindrance out of the way and just be locked in for what the Lord wants to do. So yeah, those are just simple steps. And again, of course, the book's 200 pages. So I'm just giving you guys in a nutshell. The book goes into detail what you should wear, how you should act, how many people should be in the deliverance. When I say everything you need to know, like every little detail is going to be there to try to help you guys be real practical about it so you can start doing this ministry.
Yeah, you are backing up that claim in a strong way, and kudos to you for that. And so I want to encourage everybody to go get How to Cast Out Demons and by Isaiah Saldivar. But before we wrap up here, I know you said so perfectly that we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah, would you just pray for the people that have watched this far, that they would be led by the Holy Spirit, that they would be even filled by the Holy Spirit through this video, and that they might even be delivered through this video if they need to do that?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this hour. God, I thank you that those listening, that you've called them to cast out demons. I thank you, Lord, that they hear your voice, that they know you, and they are filled with your power. God, we pray right now for those that might not be. Lord, we pray you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, as your word says, that you give good gifts. And all we have to do, according to your word, is ask for the Holy Spirit. So those listening, just ask him for his Holy Spirit right now. He'll give it to you. Father, we ask that you would just pour out right now on this generation, God. Pour out on the listeners. Lord, I pray that you would train them, that you would equip them. God, whether they get the book or not, it doesn't matter, Lord, that you've called them to do this. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be their guide. I pray, Lord, that you would be their GPS while they're doing deliverance. Lord, empower them by your Spirit. Anoint them by your Spirit, God. I pray for some of those that are demonized, even watching, Lord, that you would deliver them right now. We just command every unclean spirit to leave them now in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no power. You have no authority and you have no legal rights to our life. We pray that they would leave now in Jesus' name. Every demon has to go. Satan, you have no authority. We cancel your plans. We cancel your strategies. And Father, I just pray right now, Lord, have your way. God, use them to cast out demons. Bring people around them that need deliverance. Open the doors, God. Set up divine appointments. I pray, God, that all fear would leave, that your word says that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So we rebuke the spirit of fear. And we just pray for a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind just to flow right now for every listener. God, anoint them by your Spirit. We bless them now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Isaiah Saldivar, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and to talk about how to cast out demons, everything you need to know about deliverance. I'm looking forward to our next time together. Thank you,
brother. Thanks so much, John, for having me on. Appreciate you and love everybody at Charisma. I'm part of the family now, so we love the Charisma family. Guys, go get the book. Amazon's an easy place to get it. You can get it on Barnes & Noble's website as well. Get the book. I definitely believe it's going to help you to do this ministry God's called us to do.